This is Nursing Uncensored. I'm your host, Adrienne Benning, and I invite you to listen in on conversations I've had with real nurses about the crazy and wonderful lives we lead. This podcast is meant to create laughter in addition to serious discussion, and nothing is off limits. We're always honest, but we're not always safe for work. Please listen responsibly. Welcome to Nursing Uncensored. I'm Adrienne, and I am here today with Yolanda Russell. Hey, Yolanda.
Hey, Adrienne. I'm super excited to be here today.
I'm glad to have you. This is going to be a fun chat. We are just kind of hanging out today, and we are going to talk about a few different things. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the overarching message that we're going to be discussing today. And then I want to hear about you. So, I mean, nursing right now, especially in 2020, is more challenging than ever before. And, you know, especially when we consider the ongoing pandemic, the nursing shortage that seems to get worse every day. I'm still working bedside and I'm feeling that like really intensely right now. And more nurses are like questioning their role at the bedside, and a lot of us are battling pretty persistent burnout. We refer to nursing as like this calling, like this wonderful thing that we're like drawn to do because it is difficult. So it's not just a thing that people do to get rich quick. But what happens when you're not feeling or hearing that call anymore? So today, Yolanda and I are going to discuss a little bit about her experiences in nursing and how she noticed it was time to maybe transition away from the bedside. And now, Yolanda, you're a successful business owner and brand coach, right?
Yeah, getting there, trying to define success, because it's one of these crazy things. Entrepreneurship is quite a roller coaster.
To me, here's the thing. I see you. You look happy. You've got this great energy. You seem to have this lifestyle that really fits what you want. And to me, that's success. I don't measure that in terms of like subscribership or however other people want to measure that. But you just have this energy that to me is like, she's figured something out. Like she, and you're sharing it with other people. So that's like pretty amazing as well. So
yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Tell us about yourself. I'd love to hear anything you want to share.
Yeah, so I am formally a nurse. I have officially inactivated my license. That was a big decision that I made at the beginning of this month. And I actually have to go back and check because I'm still getting phone calls and text messages from recruiters. And I'm like, can you guys see that this thing is inactive? So I need to go follow up on Texas Board of Nursing and see what their holdup is. But I am a second career nurse. I have always known I wanted to help people. This is one of the reasons why we get into healthcare, because we want to help people. And I started my journey very backwards. I went to school for biology first because I thought I was going to be a doctor. And 4.5 years of school, the organic chemistry, I was just done. I was tanked at the end of that. And I got my first, quote, big girl job, hated it, would cry and call my mom from my desk and be like, I'm so miserable. And she's like, well, you have to figure something out. And I started looking around, what can I do with all of these credits that I have? And somebody suggested, well, you could go back to school for nursing. And I blindly applied for a night and weekend program because along with my big girl job came big girl bills. And I had a car and living in an apartment and all these things where I couldn't just drop everything and live off of student loans. So I put myself through school, went to a community college, worked 9 to 5, my regular job, did school on nights, and then had my clinicals on the weekend. So I literally was like the Energizer Bunny for 7 days straight for just about 2 years straight. And at the time, I had a boyfriend that was in the Navy. And I was like, if we can get through this whole nursing school thing, we'll get through anything. And finished up nursing school, and he was like, well, hey, I am being stationed in San Antonio. You should come with me. And I lived in Maryland. I'm from Maryland, have lived there all my life. But I was like, well, I've got this piece of paper and this license and career that technically I can go anywhere with it. And so packed up, moved. And before I left, I started reaching out to nurse recruiters in Texas that were in San Antonio. got in touch, and I would say I was here for about 2 months or so, and I get this random email, hey, we're having an open house. I get hired, like, literally on the spot. And it's so funny because I remember that director saying, this med-surg tele floor, it's crazy. Sometimes the nurses touch up to 12 patients and they cry a lot on this floor. But you know, you're this brand new nurse that's like, yes, sign me up. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to make this whole unit better. And so I stayed on that floor for 3.5 years, learned everything that I know about nursing from that. And I'd say about year two, I started to feel burnout, but I didn't even know what I was feeling was burnout. I just was tired and kind of like cranky and grumpy, which is really not my personality or spirit. And I finally got the guts to move to the ICU because I was one of these really type A perfectionist, get all the things done kind of nurse. And I moved to the ICU, stayed there for a year, did not love it. Went on night shift. That did not set well with me. And I didn't know how to say, I don't love this. And the universe, I had all these signs like, yeah, you need to do something else. And the universe gave me that big sign on February 3rd of 2016, taking care of a patient that was dying from AIDS, super routine care, and I was splashed in the face because the tube from the vent disconnected. And I just saw everything stop. And it was this really, you know, people are like, oh, these come to Jesus moments, whatever. I'm not religious by any means. But it was a moment of, do I love this enough to have it alter my life for forever? And I just decided I was very reckless. One of the ways that my burnout manifested and how I was coping with said burnout was drinking lots of alcohol on my days off and then driving, which is really stupid, but it's my truth, and seeking validation through Tinder dates and all these things. Eventually, I broke up with a boyfriend that I moved to San Antonio with, and I was spending all this money just racking up credit card debt, and I didn't know why I was being so reckless, and it was these weird coping mechanisms that I had. So I meet my now fiance during this time, and I feel like he was literally placed in my life for a reason. You know, everything happens for a reason. But I also decided in that period of time where, you know, you get on the antiretrovirals and you do that whole thing, I'm going to get healthy because I don't know what can happen to me, but I'm going to do the best that I can to be healthy. Started sharing that on social media. And I would get these weird DMs from people like, hey, you should join my boot camp. You should do this. Hey, I have these shakes that you should try. And what I didn't understand was that those were network marketers. And there just so happened to be one that slid into my DM, and she was also a nurse. And I was watching her do all this incredible stuff, and she was going on these vacations. She was making extra money. And I was like, okay, tell me about this weird pyramid scheme. And I ended up falling into network marketing and was making money and took a travel assignment, left the ICU eventually, took a travel assignment and broke down on the third to last shift of that travel assignment. And I was just like, I need a break. And I had that little side hustle that was at that time paying my bills and took a huge leap of faith, only meant to take off a month. And it's been 4 years in October.
That's, you know, that's what I hear from a lot of nurse entrepreneurs is that they're like, I thought I'd do it for like a summer. And then years later, they're still doing it and they're like killing it. And that's really interesting because I'm seeing that more and more nurses, women, women with ideas are sharing this like, hey, guess what I did? You should do it too. And it's funny because you described it as a pyramid scheme, but in a lot of ways, this has really helped. Like, these things may not work for some, but if they work for you, it can be life-altering, and it seems like it has been. Yeah.
Absolutely. I am grateful for taking that leap every single day because it has taught me so much about myself. I really went on this crazy radical journey of who is Yolanda? And that's been something that's really been tough is separating Yolanda and then separating and detaching that title of nurse. Because I do think it's a badge that we wear. Any nurse could fight me on that, but it's a badge that you wear and you know it.
Yeah. You know, and I've talked about it with other nurses before. Sometimes it's okay to like just be you and not have this all encompassing because as nurses, we commit a lot of ourselves and our lives, our energy to the profession. And mm-hmm. if you don't have anything besides that, it for some people, it's their thing and they're happy with it. But when you're feeling that like, maybe this isn't my forever, and that's okay. And that's what we're here to talk about. Not that there's nothing wrong with nursing. If you love it and you stay in it for life, hell yeah, bomb.
More power to you.
Yeah, exactly. But for some of us, we need to recognize that nursing can be this like great thing that like is a catalyst that gets us to this next step or gets us to this thing that we want. And so I feel like that's this really great message, because nursing, I mean, you can hang on to your license for a little bit if you're not sure, kind of like you did. You've had it for a little while. You finally inactivated it, which probably feels both like liberating and scary at the same time.
Absolutely.
But I think that when you take a leap, it has to be a leap. You can't just take like a little like a eep. You need to take like a leap. And so I think that when you're feeling pulled in that direction, you've got to at least listen to it. And so what were some of the fears that you had as you were getting ready to like take this leap away from nursing? Because nursing is like a steady paycheck. Like you said, you can go where you want. So how did that feel? What were some of the...
You know, I think for me, I had defined my profession as my purpose. And I really, really, the women that I work with, we go into what their real purpose is, because purpose almost becomes the identity. And so for me, it was, are people going to take me seriously? What if I'm not a nurse? Are people going to think that I was never a nurse? Just all these like very irrelevant things that didn't matter. We can cuss on here, right?
Oh yeah. You can let loose, let it rip.
Yeah. So all the things that just really didn't matter. And also obviously the fear of failing. And what if I am telling all these people that I'm never going to be a nurse again, and then I got to tuck my tail between my legs and then go back because things get hard. And I'll say, when you say about taking the leap, I have done some crazy shit that I know that many people are not in the space or the mindset or even have the ability to be able to do. So I took that month off and was doing well within that network marketing business. And then, you know, it's like, well, shit, I don't have nursing money on top of the side hustle money. I only have the side hustle money. And so I started looking at things and I was like, well, shit, what am I going to do? I have this Lexus that I'm paying for and I'm working from home. Do I really need to drive? I live downtown Austin, super easy to get around and go places. Mm-hmm. So I fucking sold my Lexus. That was my dream car that I worked so hard for. And so slowly things diminished, the power that I was putting on things, and the power became about happiness. So I get rid of my Lexus. And then, okay, like things are going on and business does this, you know, it's not this like, woo, you just go. It's like, no. And then I started tapping on my 401k and using my credit card to live. And I mean, I drained my entire 401k and just haven't looked back, like $40,000. Like, okay, girl, we're going to go. Like, this is just the thing. Mm-hmm. And it has been those leaps. But what I found on the end of the fear, I think that most of what I, and to this day, I have to wake up every single day, most of my fear comes from a fear of what if I succeed, not what if I fail, which is like the biggest mindfuck ever.
But I mean, but that's true. You know, what's that like quote you see on memes, the cliche, but what if I fall? Oh, but baby, what if you fly?
Absolutely.
And then the responsibility and the pressure that comes with that. So, but I've heard people say that like when you're getting lean, you know, cutting out these expenses that maybe aren't serving you where you're at right now in your life. Maybe when you first got that Lexus, you needed it and you loved it. And that was the thing that made you kind of feel pretty good, you know, getting in that Absolutely. Beautiful car. Mm-hmm. But like you said, your priorities change, the things you're trying to do change. And so you need different tools on that journey.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, and I think that for some people, that pulling away may be taking that leap and taking a straight month off. And for some people, that like me, the dream is like to cut back to like part time. Ooh, yeah. Like that.
Hell
would be,
yeah,
that would be exciting because then I could still have that bit that I want, but I could focus more on other things. So like that's absolutely my dream for got now. It. But who knows? Maybe once I hit that part time mark, maybe I'll be like, maybe I should go PRN. So we're constantly moving those, what am I trying to say? Those like goalposts, but mm-hmm. that's okay because you don't want to just hit a point and be like, okay, got the Lexus. That's it. I'm done. Peace. Yeah. See, it sounds like you just keep moving your goalpost.
Yeah. And I think as nurses that the goalpost, it gets really easy not to move because you get into this profession and we make money. We're not necessarily hurting for money. It's easy for you to pick up an extra shift. And when a nurse is contemplating entrepreneurship, one of the hardest shifts is, well, you're going to put in a lot of fucking work, but you might not see a return in the sense of bank deposits right away. And I think that makes it really tough for people to see beyond that or see bigger. And to be quite honest, I think nurses are some of the smartest humans walking the planet with the greatest ideas, but trapped in that box and trapped in the identity.
Yeah, and it can be scary. Like I have the desire to someday work in another hospital in another part of the country, but the idea of leaving my unit, it's scary to me.
Yeah.
And so while that's something, you know, I know that I'm not going to stay in one place forever, but just the same, when it comes time to do it, am I going to be like, little stutter step, thinking about it. Sometimes you really do just have to like, it's like, you know, when you go to, I've never been parachuting before. I've never jumped out of a plane. I don't think I could. But a lot of people say that you can't think about it. Just fucking go. Just go.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you need that push. And sometimes totally. That push is internal and sometimes mm-hmm. that push is external, like the desire to pay off those credit cards, the desire to work a job where you're your own boss. Mm-hmm. I think these are really, these are great things to aspire to, but they take a little gumption, as my grandma would say.
I love it.
So yeah, you had this interesting transition and then, having these moments of realizing like, well, maybe I could take a different approach to this. Maybe I don't need to max up my credit cards. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe I can find another way to do that. How do you feel like you've kind of learned from your own experiences? Like, what are some things? Give us some gems, give us some hidden tips. Like, how do you take that motivation and maybe those bad initial decisions and say, whoa, different approach. Let's try this again.
Absolutely. So to me, where my burnout, it was everybody else's fault. It was the hospital's fault. It was my manager's fault. It was everybody's fault that we weren't staffed appropriately. And I mean, there is only so much that we can do with that shit.
Yeah.
But I wasn't taking responsibility for other things in my life that I totally could. And the first of that being the mindset. How was I approaching each of these things that I was backed up against, and really starting to use every hardship as a lesson. So being in the moments of, oh gosh, I've had so many moments of just like breaking down and crying because money is like a real thing. You know, you need money to survive, and being like, holy shit, I have no money, and crying about that, but saying and understanding, no, you know what you're supposed to do. Just trust, just keep going. And learning to flip how I look at things and to really step back and be super objective and just ask myself the question, what am I learning from this? What is this teaching me? Mm-hmm. And just that simple shift of, oh, this isn't just happening to me, it's happening for me, to be able to learn something has been a freaking game changer. So I got really into personal development and network marketing because that's one of the things they tell you. Your business is your mindset. And really just getting into Tony Robbins, going to different events, and expanding my mindset. And I promise you that it's a muscle. Your mindset totally is a muscle. It's something mm-hmm. that you have to strengthen. So when you can start looking at the self-doubt or the limiting beliefs and those things, and turning them around, this is ultimately to me where you become the chess player of your life versus allowing life to be the player of you.
And you know, that's interesting because one of my recent goals has been to recognize those limiting beliefs, those things that I'm putting upon myself that nobody else, like this is a weird example, but this is a good example, I think. So I had this patient one night, it's this little old lady.
She's I love not, them. They're my favorite.
They're the best. But she was just being kind of like, she was kind of being like a teenage girl. She was like rolling her eyes and she was like being annoyed with me. And it was stuff that was beyond my control. And she was making these like passive aggressive comments. And I left the room, had to do a couple other things, had to go back into the room. And I was having this tremendous anxiety about going back into this lady's room. And was dreading it, and I knew I had to do it, and was like trying to just work up the nerve to go back in there. And then that voice in the back of your head said, "What are you afraid of? Like, what really are you afraid of? Like, what is this woman gonna do to you? Like, yeah, you feel bad. You want people to like you. You want your patients to like be like, oh, thank you. I hope you're back next shift." What was I afraid of? She wasn't aggressive. She wasn't going to attack me. She wasn't like telling me that my mom made a terrible mistake. You know, she wasn't doing any of these things. What am I afraid of? And so I went in there with a very different attitude of like, I need to take care of her. I am her nurse. Mm-hmm. She can roll her eyes till the sun comes up. That's fine. I still need to do what I need to do. And so even though that's a very like direct patient care thing, it's kind of that mm-hmm. attitude of like when you have mm-hmm. to do something thinking, what really am I afraid of? What right. is what is stopping me? What is holding me back? And really trying to identify that thing. What is that? What's that feeling in my gut? What is it telling mm-hmm. me? And sometimes it's good. It's a warning to be cautious. But sometimes it's us just trying to talk ourselves out of things that maybe we're just afraid to do, afraid to jump out of that airplane because it totally. Looks scary, even though we want to, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think you've made this interesting transition and now you kind of have this like multifaceted brand. And I have been a follower of yours for quite some time. So it's kind of funny that you're on the show because I have this like fangirl experience that I keep having with all of these like Instagram content creators, YouTubers, podcast creators, because even though I have a podcast, people like to listen, I get this fan mail, but I'm like, oh gosh, not me. But then I see these other creators and I'm like, oh, she's a real person. Oh my God, she's here. She's here. It's her. And so I think that's good because I think that reinforces that we have this power to influence mm-hmm. and that I need to remember, especially like not to get on the Instagram stories and just complain like, oh, I want to complain so bad. You know what? If I see somebody complaining in their stories, I'm like, next story. I don't
absolutely.
And so I need to remember that putting that out into the world is mm-hmm. not everybody wants that. And it's content like yours that has reminded me that it's okay. It's okay to be a little happy. It's okay to go after what you want and to be unapologetically energetic about it. So mm-hmm. your energy, sometimes I'm like, because I'm a night shift worker, you know, I do those 12-hour shifts at the bedside. So sometimes I'm like, girl, you're making me tired. Like, but other times I'm like, oh my God, fuck yes. I need to go do that thing because there are people out there doing those things and look at how they're benefiting from them. So
yeah.
Thank you for being a source of inspiration. And thank you for being like a normal person that I can talk to, even though I'm like having the fangirl moment, you know,
I'm sweating. This is the one thing people are always like, how do you go on video? How do you do this? How do you do that? And I'm like, you guys, you don't even understand. Like my whole back will be drenched and I'll have to change my clothes, you know?
I do. I get the Italian hands because I grew up in a neighborhood where everybody was very like emphatic and so.
Love it.
But yeah, it's also really cool that we have all these people that we can kind of collaborate with, share our messages, build that network.
Totally.
And it looks different for everybody, but I think that it's really empowering to see other people doing it. So I hope that people that are listening to or watching this feel that same kind of like tingle on the back of their neck of like, ooh, maybe I could do this too. I think that that's a really powerful feeling, even if it's like just the tiniest hint of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so So yeah, you've had several different endeavors. So let's continue through your timeline a little bit, because I really want to hear more about how you've shifted from kind of like achievement to cool thing to next cool thing.
Yeah. So during that time in network marketing, I created a brand very accidentally, but also very much so because it was my way to rebel and to not fit into a cookie cutter. So I had gotten 6-pack of abs and was like super ripped, but I still love to.
My God, bravo.
Yeah, I don't look like that today, but you know.
That's okay.
But I know my body's capable. Mm-hmm. And I was going to quit. I had gone to this huge convention that like I should have been so excited to be at. And I had every emotion except for excitement. And starting just to tune into, what is this? Why do I feel this way? Why don't I feel great? And so at 12 o'clock midnight back in 2017, I think it was like in June, it came. Something delivered it to me. And it was this, the kind of fit chick. And this was all about me allowing myself the love of fitness, but also showing up and being the girl that would cuss, being the girl that would show you her McDonald's. I haven't had McDonald's in forever, but you know, just would drink wine, would get drunk, would go live. And people started to latch on to that. And I created this, you probably could still go on Instagram, but this, the kind of fit chick tribe. And it became this thing that people wanted to be a part of. And that was really powerful. But what I would find was people were like, hey, I want to join your tribe. And I'd be like, okay, well, it's, you got to sign up and get these shakes and a workout. And people would be like really turned off. But what I understood was I was starting to magnetize people towards me. And what people always were doing was, yeah, they were getting a shake and a workout, but they were really buying into the experience of being part of the kind of fit chick tribe. And so I just decided this is a thing. And I maxed out a credit card, the last $500 of space that was on there, and I trademarked the kind of fit chick. And then I decided I want to start making t-shirts. I want to put these little Yolandisms that I say on t-shirts that people also repeat for whatever reason. So I launched this t-shirt shop, hired a coach, figure out how to drop ship so I didn't have to have an inventory or any of this, mm-hmm. made it a big fucking deal. And that weekend I sold in retail $1,200 of tees and tank tops. And I was like, okay, girl, you can do this without this network marketing thing. But I had trapped myself into that was how I was going to make it. And then I wanted to do a podcast, because I was really just into development, helping people with their mindset. And so the podcast comes out and it was called The Real Raw and Free Podcast, which is a tagline that I use, empowering women to embrace living their lives real, raw, and free as fuck. And that kind of caught on. And I was like, okay, I got to figure this shit out. And I sunk, got a personal loan because I didn't have the money at the time. Sunk $5,000 into a business coach to help me figure it out, because I was tired of looking at people that were doing things and making money and were not in network marketing. I was like, how are they doing this? So I figured that out, launched my first program, which was actually called, what do we call it? Breakthrough Burnout Method. And my first 5 clients were all miraculously nurses.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Isn't that funny? You use your story and it connects other people to you. Mm-hmm. And so these women started getting amazing and incredible results. And what I found is that as we were working through and they took their energy from like zero, you know, and started raising it. And what I found from each of these women was that they wanted to create something of their own. And I understood, because I had done this. Well, you got to have a brand. You got to be showing up on social media. And I had a client and I just pushed her. I was like, let's go. And then I said, launch your program. Just tell people that you're going to coach them. And when that first person made money inside of a program, I was like, oh shit, I'm onto something way bigger than this just being about burnout. It was really about being about mindset, helping people get clarity with their vision and their confidence, and then ultimately taking action. So that's evolved now into, I don't just serve nurses anymore. And that was something that was kind of hard, but I think that was also necessary for me to break out of the identity of like being I'm a nurse. And so now I help people build their brands and their confidence using social media to make income and impact. And I have a nurse that's made $5,000. So she works full time. She's a mom from June till this point. And so it's really just freaking awesome to help other people execute and make their dreams into a reality. And that's where I am today. The podcast has evolved too. When I hired that business coach, they always talk about, you got to pick the audience that you want to serve. Mm-hmm, you got to niche down. And I was just thinking, okay, I'll do nurses because I understand that. And I rebranded the podcast for a short period of time to The Unfiltered Nurse. But what I was really wanting to do was just talk about business and branding and helping people do that. And so that needed to shift. And the podcast is now called Accelerate Your Brand and Breakthrough.
And the content is right up my alley because I'm working on building this thing, you know?
Hell yeah.
This like podcast, blog. Parts of it I'm really good at. Parts of it I'm terrible at. But I'm learning and I'm pushing through. And every time something good happens or I get some kind of feedback, it's really it's the fuel to my fire, basically.
Absolutely.
And now I'm in that point where I have to start thinking about the business side of things. And I'm in the process of, like, making my own little LLC. Like,
hell yeah.
Things that I'm working on. And I'm doing it slowly and with caution. And I've thought about hiring someone out, but it's like, where do you begin? Where do you even start? You know, like, I live in Iowa. Like, we don't have like slews of like social media managers. Just like, I mean, maybe we do and I just don't know it, you know?
They're probably there.
They're probably here. They're probably just right down the street. But yeah totally. it's that initial fear again, having to take that leap. But that's content that I'm like, all these episodes that I need to download that I want to listen to because there's a lot of really valuable information in there. Yeah. I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to listen. One of the things you said, I actually wrote down a quote because it was something that struck me that you said. I don't remember which episode it was because I kind of binge listened to a few of them. But you said, I may not be auscultating a patient's lungs, but I'm healing people in a very different way or something like that. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And that really is important because as a nurse, you have all these qualities that make you a good nurse, right? You have all these kind of things or things that you develop while being a nurse, the critical thinking, the ability to like MacGyver equipment out of all sorts of other little things. Like I've become really good at figuring out solutions when you got like a shoelace and some tape and
absolutely,
you know, and so I think that you're definitely bringing healing to people because like I said earlier, the energy alone is kind of infectious. And so then being able to actually help people, help these women, help these nurses, like find that way to get into the thing that they've been wanting to do, but just haven't really known how to do. So
yeah. And thank you. And I'll say this. I said this on a connection call with a nurse and she lives in the UK. And so where you say where the social media is in Iowa, they're just online. They can be in your same time zone. They could be across the world. It doesn't matter. But the one thing that she was saying is she's about 24. So she's just like a baby, you know, I'll be 36 next month. So it's just like, I have just this soft spot and I don't have children. So I feel like I'm here to kind of, you know, nurture all the people. But one of the things that I told or suggested that she start doing was looking at who she was as not a noun. So being a nurse is a noun. But if you strip away and you start looking at to nurse being a verb and you start looking at what the adjectives of being a nurse are, you still have all those things, all the, you know, being passionate, compassionate, being a critical thinker, being, I don't know, whatever you're being as a nurse, a healer and all these things. And looking at it, if we stripped away your title, here's the great part. You still have all those characteristics. They still make up you. And so I just know that that was something that I personally had struggled with for so long. And even to this day, it's kind of like, oh, are people going to take me seriously? But it really is again, I'm so much about people creating identities of just who they are, for their characteristics and the amazing traits that they have, and being able to extract those things and say, now look, you have all this. What else can you do with this?
Mm-hmm. It was, I think just recently with the passing of Chadwick Boseman, there was a quote, something that he said that's been shared quite widely. And he said that you need to find your purpose, not your job, that purpose can transcend professions. And I feel like this message is coming through in what you're saying. Like, you can have a purpose rather than just like this job title. And for some people, it is a job, and that's okay. That's how you make your money and you go home and you turn it off. That's totally cool. But yeah, I think that when you find your purpose, that healing, like, you can be, like you said, people ask me, I'm also child-free by choice, and yay, people, yeah, and patients.
Maybe that's how you originally connected.
Maybe, you know? Maybe. I mean, yeah, there's, who knows? There are so many different things. Like, if you look at the people I follow, there's such a wide variety, like, things that people, you follow them and, because... because it's perspectives. It's different. You know, mm-hmm. I'm always wanting to hear something different and new. Where was I going to? Getting back to the original. Yeah, I think just that, I'm childless by choice. I have patients all the time that ask me if I have children. Mm. And to kind of get them off the personal topic, I just say, I don't need children. I have all of my patients.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So, yeah. And so you've kind of transitioned. And now instead of children, instead of patients, you have these women that you're like essentially mentoring. And mm-hmm. mentorship can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. I think that most of my mentors are women that I've never even met. Mm-hmm. And that, like, are creating content online and are really influencing me in positive ways. Of course, I do have people in my real life that influence me, but the mentorship that you bring, I think, is really, it's not like a brand new thing, mm-hmm. but I think mm-hmm. we've ushered in this new kind of like generation of people that recognize that there are people out there with talents. And it is totally of value to give them money or give them reviews or give them whatever it is that they're asking in exchange for this great wisdom, for lack of a – wisdom seems so, like, stuffy and old and, like, archaic. But really this, like, collection of ideas, motivations, ways of thinking, ways of doing things – and not letting those inner, like, voices of doubt hold you back. So what are some things that, for you personally, not even, like, the overarching, like, grand scheme of the world, what are some things that personally in the morning you wake up and you're like, I get to do this today. What is this? What are the things that make you go, I'm so happy it is today because I'm doing all of this?
Oh, this is such a great question. That I get to wake up without an alarm. I get to take my dog on an unrestricted walk for however long he wants to go, and to know Ralphie, aka the boss, is he's got a stroller that I push him around the streets of Austin.
I've seen it. It's adorable.
And just having that time and that space, that the space to be with myself every day and to work on who I am. And not have to rush through that process, and being able and having the opportunity to, as I grow, to be 1% better every day. And for the listener here, it's not, we talk about the leaps and they're important, but I think sometimes we get so caught up in the leap versus just how can you be a little bit better every single day? How can you wake up tomorrow and just be 1% better? And that just might be as simple as when I walk in the hallway at work, I'm going to look up and I'm going to smile at the person. And when you start doing those kind of things, and the smile becomes a hello. And what you feel and you'll find is that it fills your cup in such a different way, especially when you're feeling just like burned out and you hate everything and like life fucking sucks. So I would say that morning, it's not even a routine. I'm not somebody that's going to be like, okay, you need to do this in the morning. But just waking up, being able to do that without an alarm clock, and then consciously saying, I'm so grateful for my dog, for whatever it is that I feel super grateful for. I have this a 5-minute journal. Go on Amazon. If you've got an Amazon link, attach that as an affiliate.
I'll throw it in.
I don't have an Amazon affiliate account because apparently I had nudity on my Instagram, which there's no nudity on Instagram. It's because a picture of me in a dressing room.
Thanks, Amazon.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Amazon, you're just telling me that I don't need to give you any more of my money, really. But in that journal,
They got enough.
It's so powerful, though, because it's what are three things that you're grateful for? What are three things that would make today amazing? And what affirmation are you giving to yourself every single day? And then at night, before you go to bed, you write down three things that happened that were amazing today. And then you also evaluate, how could I have made today better? Mm-hmm. And so it's these really small little things that I've found to honestly have the biggest freaking impact.
And then when you start doing these things on a regular basis, you solidify that habit and then it becomes part of your thinking. Mm-hmm. I realized recently, Nurse Mo has got this talk where she talks about self-affirmations and how she actually will wake up. And I've told stories before where, like, even when I wake up now, I'm kind of like doing it in my sleep where I'm doing these like affirmations kind of in the back of my mind. And it does. I think it makes a difference. If you wake up and tell yourself every day that you're ugly and stupid and you hate yourself, of course you're not going to feel good.
Totally.
So I think that it's important that we be kind to ourselves and and find these things that like make us happy each day. Those simple little things. I think that mindfulness is such an important theme because it really does make a difference. Absolutely.
Totally.
So tell people how they can find you, how they contact you, and how they get in. I mean, honestly, like, your Instagram page is so much fun, so I think they need to find you on Instagram for sure. But yeah, where do people find Yolanda?
Yeah, well, Instagram is 100% my jam. That is, I don't need TikTok. We got Reels now. I am just good to go and crazy as hell on those. But really trying to use them to inspire, to educate, and entertain people. So there's a method to the madness behind those. But yeah, on Instagram, XO_Yolanda Russell is where you can find me. I am on there every single day. Like literally every single day. And I usually start every day off with, today is a good day to have a good day. And I've literally had people on days where I don't say that say, oh, I was waiting for you to say that today.
Where is it?
Which is just blows my mind. But yeah, that's the best place to find me. I go live. I'm on Reels. I'm crazy. Slide in the DMs. I love chatting with other nurses. And you can also find me on the Accelerate Your Brand and Breakthrough podcast, which is available on Apple, Spotify, and Google. It goes out to some other places, but I feel those are the main three. And yeah, I've got a website, but I don't know that millennials really dig into websites. I think we're on the social media platforms.
Yeah, I feel like websites are great because social media changes and platforms do kind of come and go. So it's nice to have a home base. But really, I feel like Instagram is the place where I hang out as well. So
yeah, absolutely. And I do have, this is kind of a new thing. I'm creating a space and community for entrepreneurs. And I call that Badass Bosses, which is completely free to join. And I do Business Tip Tuesdays. People can jump in there, ask questions. And that's a space for me just to give. And really nothing's off limits in there.
Yeah.
But
I recently signed up for that. So I'm getting those emails now.
Hey, awesome. And I really just feel to me, and a reminder to anyone that's here, and I think as nurses that we know this, but just remember, especially if you're transitioning into entrepreneurship, always, always, that the more that you can give, the more that you'll always get. But don't forget to take care of yourself in that process. And I think that that's the piece that nurses forget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We need those reminders for sure. So thank you for being one of those bright, shining, smiling reminders.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah. And then people, even though we're like kind of smashing on websites a little bit, there is nursinguncensored.com. There's so much content there. People should go check that out as well. Yolanda, I want to thank you again for joining me today on the show. I hope you're no stranger. I would love to talk to you again. There's like so much. I feel like we could sit and talk for an extended period of time. So
yeah, I feel like we just decide, like, like there was this weird connection that almost happened, and I'm thinking, oh, you can come on the podcast and we can talk about being child free, being nurses, starting businesses. It's awesome.
Yeah, this is great. And that's what, and that, you know, if anything, if I have to say that there's been a positive to this post-COVID world that we're living in, is that it really has forced us to find other ways to connect, other ways to like be in these like interesting and valuable relationships. So thanks for being my online buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for reaching out. And you guys, I will tell you this, if you are building your platform on social media, you have to be social. And our connection literally happened because you shared a piece of my content. And I saw it and I was like, oh, hey. And it was funny. You were like, okay, I'm just going to find joy in folding these fucking towels.
Yeah. And that's what you got to do. You got to find that thing. Light a candle. Put on some music. Make that task that really sucks into something that you can like kind of dance around and celebrate a little bit. So yeah, thank you for inspiring that moment. I do kind of like folding towels, but whatever.
Oh, I don't. You can, I'm in my closet and I've got just laundry and shit all around me.
I'm great at folding it, not so great at putting it away.
Same.
It's all right. We all have our strengths. So, yeah, I think usually I end the show by saying happy nursing, but I just want to tell people happy whatever the fuck it is you want to do.
Absolutely. Happy living your life real, raw, and free as fuck.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Here at Nursing Uncensored, we may be, well, uncensored, but we're not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are from years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're definitely not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide helpful and accurate information. But don't take anything we say as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, educational, or professional institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks.